guys. Welcome to episode 20 of Inside the Game, live once again from the Twitch TV offices. Of course, we've got Idra and Bryce Machine over in the EGHQ. Guys, what the hell is up? How's it going? Idra, I know you're tired.
Well, I'm pretty good, actually. It's like my first break in God knows how long. Now I got more than a week before I'm multi-province, so I feel pretty good.
And it feels good, probably, to take a little break, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Machine, how are you holding up over there?
Doing pretty good. Excited to be back. Pretty much just trying to get ready for province right now. About it.
And today's kind of a unique day because we Pain User will be here, guys. He's actually on his way to the office. But today's a unique day because the 1.4.2 patch hit, which is basically like all ProDOS buffs, and we happen to have like the anti-state of the game lineup here with zero ProDOS on the show. So for all those people that have ever said like, man, I wish there wasn't just Pro, like, we're going to give you that episode here tonight. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Big shout out to our sponsors, SteelSeries and Six Pool Gaming. And Pain User is on his way, so he'll be here shortly. With that being said, let's jump right into things with Idra. Idra, you know, fucking congratulations first and foremost, dude.
Thank you.
I think that anyone who is giving you shit over the course of, you know, the months where maybe you even were not performing how you wanted to be performing can now be put to rest, can, you know, STFU with, some major victories underneath your belt. I'd love to just hear your thoughts on everything.
Well, I feel like I'm kind of back to where I should be, you know, even being outside of Korea. So I don't feel like it's a huge accomplishment. I just feel it's like what I should be have been capable of doing the entire time. And I'm really just looking forward to getting to Korea and practicing with Slayers and really focusing hardcore and seeing what I'm capable of then. But yeah, obviously it's really, really nice, especially after, you know, a couple of months where I definitely wasn't performing where I want to be.
So in terms of, you said like you feel like where you or you're back to where you were at one point, right? So I want to know, what do you think you're going to be able to accomplish? What do you think you're going to be capable of if you do sort of embark on this training in the Slayer's house?
Back when I was in Korea, despite the fact that everyone else had team houses and team practice and stuff, and I was living on my own, mostly just practicing on ladder, and when Zerg was just objectively winning like 20-30%, me and Nesty were the only ones being successful, and I was being successful along with Nesty. And given that I'm still capable of beating players like Bomber despite living in North America, practicing in North American conditions, I think I go and practice with a team like Slayers under someone like Boxer, have someone like Coca to copy weird fucking builds off of, and practice with MMA and stuff. I think I could be really, really good.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit specifically about the Asus ROG. I tried to bring up their webpage earlier, but apparently Asus is going under site maintenance. But you guys can just look up Asus ROG on Google and find that out. Talk to me a little bit about this tournament. What was tough? What was not tough? And then, of course, we just lost Greg, so he'll come back. There we go. I'll repeat the question in just a second when you get back.
I'm here now.
Okay, what was difficult for you in this tournament? What wasn't? Did you like the format? Like, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, the format was pretty limited, but when you only have 8 players and it's more supposed to be a showmatch and invitational, it avoids a lot of the problems that Double Elim has. There's no awkward finals where one side has to have an advantage or it's not really fair. It's just very kind of simple. So that has pluses and minuses. As it was fine. And I got pretty much the best bracket that I could have. I've got 2 Terrans, and I got White Rob before he decided to start turtling. If Red had gotten through, or if Chris had gotten through from the other semi, or from the other side of the bracket, it would have gotten a lot harder. But as is, I just got opponents who I was really comfortable with, and I played well. So the tournament portion went well. And as for the tournament in general, I was just really, really happy with it. They treated us incredibly well. They took us out to dinner every night. They took care of absolutely everything. They made sure we had anything we needed. So it was just a great tournament in general for me.
That's becoming more and more of a popular thing to do, is just really, really cater to the players. I mean, obviously these guys know that they can deliver a nice experience to those not at the event. But, you know, more as more and more players speak up and say, hey, you know, they made the accommodations really great, which made, playing even easier. I mean, both of you guys would probably agree that from a player's perspective, it's like one of the greatest things a tournament organizer can do, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially after IPL. I think IPL kind of raised the bar. Well, to be fair, DreamHack Invitationals have been doing this since the first one back in Stockholm. They treated us incredibly well. But IPL for a larger scale tournament, and I think the Aces one was just kind of following DreamHack's footsteps. There were a lot of similarities there. I definitely hope it's something that other leagues pick up on. MLG is very competent in general, and they take care of things well, but they don't focus specifically on taking care of the players. So, I mean, stuff gets done, but we don't get babied like we do at IPL, and it was really nice when that happened.
Right.
And then some of the other tournaments, like ESWC, the player treatment was pretty shit, and some of the other, like, less big leagues. But I hope they just kind of follow in IPL, DreamHack, Aces, or Assembly's footsteps.
When you sort of entered into this competition, and when I say entered, but I mean you were going into it, you knew who you were going to be going up against. Did you expect to be facing Select in the finals? Like, was that your expectation? Or
I thought, given that he beat Demaga, yes. Select's TVP has been really, really good for a long time, and good as Chris is, and abusive as Elfie is, I would have really expected Select to win versus either of them. But I could also see Demaga winning versus him pretty easily, and in that case I could see Huck beating Demaga pretty easily. Despite what happened in their show match, Chris, at his best, has a really good, really abusive PvZ, and I think he could definitely beat Demaga. So, no, it didn't surprise me that he got through, but it wouldn't have surprised me if any of him, Demaga, or Huck got through.
Gotcha. So, I mean, would you have expected, or were you even anticipating the potential of a Huck Idra final?
I thought, like I said, I thought any of them could get through, and so I definitely thought it was a possibility, but he doesn't deal with jet lag particularly well, and he had to come in the day beforehand because of his schedule, so that was a pretty big hit to him for the entire tournament, really.
Okay.
So that held him back, and I was happy with Select getting through. I figured Select would be the easiest, just because of the matchup for me, easiest of the three.
Machine, I want to ask you a question. Being on the same team as Idgra, I kind of asked a similar question to In Control a few shows ago when Idgra had won his last competition. What does it feel like to sort of be on Evil Geniuses and having, like, another victory under your guys' belt? Like, how's that feel just as a teammate?
Well, it feels great, like, especially with this house, you know, and everything. We're kind of really pressured to get some results, and so when I see, you know, someone like Chris swinging MLG or, you know, Greg going and winning this Asus, I guess it just kind of motivates me, you know, especially because, I sit here, sit next to him each and every single day. It'd be nice to go ahead and try to, like, live up to that sort of same level, and so I guess, yeah, just motivation is really the biggest thing I get out of it.
Right on. All right, any other comments, Greg, as far as that match or the entire tournament went? Anything else that you want to...
I just kind of like to say it was really an awesome tournament. Like I said, I was really happy with the player treatment, especially given that it's, like, not one of the major leagues. When you think of the major leagues, like MLG, IPL is kind of coming up there, DreamHack, IAM. But Assembly, they ran a great tournament, and from what I've heard, all of their other tournaments were really, really good in the same ways, too, so... Big props to Assembly.
There was one other question I wanted to ask, and that was, we got to see only a sort of small sample of how large the crowd actually was, but can you comment on about how many people were there, and also, what were the fans like there?
It wasn't gigantic, not by MLG standards at all. They had 150 seats, and it was massively overflowing on, at least on the finals day. They definitely needed to have more seats, but it wasn't a gigantic audience. I get the impression that Finland isn't nearly as esportsy as Sweden or Germany or some of the other countries.
Sure.
So, and the fans, they weren't as enthusiastic as MLG fans either, but no one really seems to be, as far as I can tell. After I won, had to stand there around 20, 25 minutes signing autographs and doing pictures and stuff, so pretty standard for a smaller tournament. Not overwhelming, but good for a country that's, like I said, not very esportsy.
Right. And, of course, as always, the crowd online was epically huge. I actually stayed up to like 7 a.m. here on the West Coast. I got a little taste of what it's like on the West Coast when you're trying to watch late night tournaments, because this this would have been one that I would have actually gone to bed and then woke up to watch, but instead I'm like, well, shit, it starts in an hour and a half. I might as well stay awake. And then by the end, I was like literally just about ready to just die. So yeah, good event all around. I love the players that are there, and you know, I know that it's tougher when you're inviting players, because you definitely limit the scope of the tournament in general. But at the same time, the fact that it runs so smoothly and you know exactly what you're going to get, it has its own attraction and its own draw. So I definitely give those guys a lot of props for, you know, for what they did. And speaking of winning competitions, you commented, because gosh, I haven't seen you since the, actually not even BlizzCon, you were over at ESWC. And then you went directly to, or I think you came home, and then you went to the Asus ROG.
Yeah, I came home for like 3 days of rest, and then went off to Finland.
Yeah, and you commented that my hair looks a little shorter.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, you're right about that. I didn't keep any hair for you. I hope that's okay. Neither did Slasher.
I'm kind of upset about the Slasher one.
Well, yeah.
But then having a lock of that hair in possession.
Have you seen his hair? I've got it like. It looked.
I saw one picture of it. It wasn't a very good picture. I haven't seen him like live yet.
It looked good when he first got it shaved, right? But now that it's starting to grow in, he looks like, I don't know. He looks like a Shaggy.
It can't be worse than what he had before. Like when he cut it, but just cut it to shoulder length, that looked god awful.
I mean, you got to imagine that. Like he's got curly hair, so
yeah.
It's just like going everywhere now. Right, that it's
to curl.
Oh yeah. It's
can't wait to see him.
It's out of control. So yeah, he probably will need to shave before Providence. So speaking of which, we got Providence right around the corner. Of course, I didn't even bring that up, but there's the plate right there, and Providence right around the corner. Obviously, the last event of the season, big event. Let's talk a little bit about it. Both you guys, if I'm not mistaken, are in the championship bracket or the championship pool.
No, actually, I didn't hang on to the top 16 right there at the end. Yeah, a little upsetting.
So you're gonna have to go.
I think I finished
open.
Like 19th or something. But
the audio just cut off.
Yeah, I think that the audio just got
All right, we just lost both of our guys. Sweet. It's just me and you, folks. And Payne user should be on his way. Here we go. Hello. That was crazy. I don't know what the hell happened there.
Yeah, I don't either. Here, you gotta hang up, Greg, and then just rejoin Phil. Yeah, that was weird.
I should probably make sure that my... There we go. All right.
I could still see you, but your audio. Okay. All right, there we go.
And you got a little bit bigger machine for some reason. Are you leaning close?
He was working out.
There we go.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, we were about to talk about MLG. We just got the bad news that Bryce, you are going to be playing in the open bracket. Then is that accurate?
Yep, I got finished like 19th. I hung on my top 16 spot barely the whole season, then dropped out. But it's fine. It just means I got to beat people before I win the whole thing.
does that change your thought, your mentality going into something like this, like immediately, or?
I'm trying not to let it affect me. Like obviously, cutting out all those rounds and then just having to win like two or three rounds to win the whole thing is a big advantage, but. It's just something I'm going to have to deal with, and it's nothing I can really do about it. Just got to play through the open bracket.
Right. Well, and I mean, there's been some players that have basically said, I'm not even going to this thing because I have to play in the open bracket. Stefano is one of those players. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that the open bracket's that deadly that, you know, that's an okay decision for a player to make, or...
It depends on if their teams will send them, because I know multiple players have done that. Moro and Thorzane, I believe, also have made that kind of statement. They're players who certainly could get through, especially with a favorable bracket. I don't know. It's really up to them and how well they deal with jet lag and if they have other tournaments coming up. Because if there's nothing else surrounding it, I think it's kind of a stupid decision just because MLG is so big. Even if the prize money isn't big, the notoriety you get from winning something like that, it's a really, really high-profile tournament, even the money hasn't kept up with how big it has become. So I think blowing it off just because of that is kind of stupid. But yeah, if you have other commitments or if you have to pay your own way to it, then it's certainly understandable. Because it is really hard to make it through the open bracket. And they don't treat you particularly well if you're not in the championship bracket.
Well,
it's a really tough schedule.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's balls to the wall, basically.
Yeah.
So looks like Pain Users just joined us as well. What's up, T-Pain? I've got to figure out how the hell we're gonna actually hear. You might just have to plug these in. Hold on.
You need two sound ports?
Yeah, I do. Isn't that awesome like that?
I need a splitter or something.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll work. Let's just put those bad boys in. Can you hear there. So put them in and then see if you can hear it. What's up? Welcome to Pain User.
It's good to see you, buddy.
What's up, dude? How's it going, man?
I can hear.
You can hear them?
I can.
Yeah? Greg?
Bryce, say something, Greg.
Wait, hello.
What's up?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Fish Sticks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me a beer, bro.
What? Oh, can you grab him a beer? He's already late to the show, man. I would appreciate it. He's going to need it. We were just talking about MLG. We were just talking about the open bracket.
How about Idra's little wreck fest over at the Aces tournament? I watched all your games, man. Are we live right now? Just to be clear, we're live?
We are live.
Okay, so get this.
Okay.
I was out in Arizona, spent some time with Mr. Greg Fields. Never seen him so focused before a tournament. You know, he told me multiple times. He was like, dude, I'm going to win this one.
Yeah?
There's no Koreans there. I think I have a pretty easy bracket. He was like, I'm going to take this one home. He just said it like that, like nonchalantly. And I was like, yeah, all right, whatever, Greg. Good luck.
Oh, you're skipping the fun part of it. It's like everyone goes out and parties on fucking Halloween night and with ASU people.
Yeah,
and I stay home.
Greg
and
stayed home and then
he wins the
tournament.
Smart guy, Greg. That's right.
I know. I'm impressed though. That's like Babe Ruth calling the home run
exactly.
And then just whomping one out of the park.
Exactly.
You know, I gotta hand it to Greg for that. That was pretty baller.
So
if you stick out on homecoming plus Halloween on the same night right before doing so.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? So, talk about the open bracket since you just got here, Pain User. Machine was just telling us that he's out of the championship pools. He's also in the open bracket. Are you playing open bracket?
I am indeed.
You are. So, talk to us about it.
It's hell, dude. I've had the pleasure of riding out the championship bracket, much like Machine and Bryce and other people. Although Bryce has definitely earned his medal there a few times, but it's really easy to just ride it out and stay in the championship bracket. Like MLG has a vested interest in those top 16 guys continuing to place top 16, and their whole tournament structure is organized to see those guys continue to take top 16. And it's very tough to work your way out of it, but some of us managed to do it. And,
right.
Now we got to go through the open bracket.
Right.
I feel like an absolute fool for thank you, sir. I feel like
thank
an absolute
you,
fool for losing my open bracket spot. It just took 2 months of not practicing and casting all the time, and boom.
You know, and that's kind
go.
Of like an interesting thing because we were talking about like Stefano says he doesn't want to play the open bracket. Idra had mentioned that Thorzane and Moro didn't want to play, but at the same time, like. I think that a lot of these guys would like to participate in the MLG events, but when they sort of have come to the party a little bit late, it prevents them from doing so. So, it's kind of a tough spot to be in because it is an investment from a player point of view to fly out, get a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, devote yourself for that.
Well,
so.
Then, and not to mention, you know, they don't have the same cushy deal that a lot of the Koreans have, right? The Koreans are getting flown out. Their hotels are paid for. They're getting backstage treatment. They're getting food. They know when their matches are. They have people taking care of them. If you're coming as a European flying out from Germany, you have a $2,600 trip, and you're competing for a $5,000 first place
prize.
Right,
right.
Like, get real. Yeah. People wonder why Sase turned down MLG and other players turned down MLG. It's a no-brainer. Like, until they step up their prize pool and it's something that is legitimately worth paying that kind of money to come compete for, you're going to see more and more players not showing up and not dealing with the open bracket because they don't want to.
To be fair, in Sase's case, it was the $50,000 prize, not the $5,000 prize, but he seems pretty dedicated to practice and all that and staying in Korea. So it's understandable. I think he had some, like he has GSL or something out of focus on. So that's a separate case,
right? But I mean, it is true. There's definitely a mentality of some players, you know.
Oh yeah.
And even though the $50,000 purse, or prize is very lucrative, there's still a small percentage of players that are going to actually be able to achieve success in something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I've had a great seed in every open bracket. In my last open bracket, like, my first two players that I run into are Sase and then Artist. It's like, the open bracket's just absolutely stacked, and they need to find a way to
the
run.
Seeding's almost irrelevant with random people coming in, because they ascend up any number.
It's completely irrelevant. I had the number 7 seed, and it's like, oh, great. There's a bunch of unseeded players that should be seeded higher than I am, and I'm running into them.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
They really need to just accept that it's going to seem kind of stupid to uninformed people and have someone rank incoming players objectively. Otherwise, it's just going to be stupid.
So, as far also as this being the last event of the season for MLG... What do you guys expect in terms of the turnout? Do you think that this is going to sort of, it's now been another year of MLG. Do you guys expect this one to be, like, fucking big and badder than the last national championships? Machine, what do you think?
Well, easily bigger than the last MLG. If you compare, like, any of this season's MLGs to last season's, it's a no-brainer. We'll just have to see, like, how much bigger. Like, I'm not sure if it's going to be bigger than, like, an Anaheim or something because it's located in Providence. But I'd assume it's at least going to be pretty big.
Bryce.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah,
you fool.
What?
He tried to shoot you. It didn't work.
It's inaccurate.
What do you think, Greg? You think it's going to be sort of off the chain?
It's going to be kind of amazing from... Well, yeah. I mean, just look at the player pool coming, the prize pool, and everything. It's MLG is always bigger than its prize pool would indicate. Like throughout the rest of the year, it's been one of the biggest competitions outside Korea, despite having $5,000 for first place. And now you actually have a prize pool that's going to encourage MVP and Nesty to show up for the open bracket. It's going to be pretty insane.
Yeah. So let's talk about that part next. Obviously. You know, you guys, Idra, you'll have your own sort of players to deal with in the championship bracket and the championship pools, but there's no doubt that there are some wrecking crews that are going to go through the fucking open bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone want to comment on that?
I mean, it's a slaughterfest. It's very difficult to make your way out these days. It gets harder and harder every MLG, and it's just going to continue to be that way. Until they reorganize the system.
What do you think there's any possibility of seeing, like, upsets with a guy like an MVP or an ST in the open bracket just based off of the again, we've talked about this before in some of the other shows as well, too, and that, you know, it's a different format. And there have been players who have just frankly said, I hate that format. I don't like playing a game 10 minutes later, playing another game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, an hour later, playing another game.
I mean... I don't know. I think from a player's standpoint, MLG has a lot to learn, and they have a lot to catch up on. They really need to start taking care of the players. They need to start feeding the players. They need to have organized match times. It can't be like you report to the bracketing division. You're like, when's my next match? And it's like, oh, we're still waiting on feedback from games XYZ. We'll let you know in an hour. You come back in an hour. They're like, oh, you're playing in an hour and a half. It's like, there's so much downtime, and... You're stressed out. Nobody's getting sleep. You can't bring food into the events. I mean, there's just, like, a lot of little things that...
You have to be prepared for it. Like, if you've gone through an open bracket, you're probably going to be a little bit more prepared than if you've never gone through an open bracket.
Yeah. When I go to MLG, you have to be on top of your shit 100%. You need to be constantly checking the brackets, asking them who you're playing. I've even had situations where I thought I was playing one specific player of a specific race, and I had 4 hours of downtime. I went back to my hotel, trained TVP for 3 hours. I come back, and they're like, we messed the bracket up. You're actually playing as
Zerg. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's
I
just like,
that.
It's so frustrating, man. Are you ready for that
machine? I don't know. Like, seriously, I don't think the whole, like, player treatment is that big of a deal with an MLG, just because if you're comparing it to, like, some of the invitationals and stuff that Greg was talking about, like, it's impossible to do it on that sort of a scale. At least, it doesn't seem like it. You could help certain things out by, like, letting people bring food to events and, you know, maybe getting matches scheduled on time, but it's hard to do on that sort of a scale, I think.
Catered food.
He's right.
Catered food for just the players, definitely doable.
I don't know. Even for IPL, the IPL, they really treated, like, the group play, the invited players and all that well, but they didn't take especially good care of the open bracket people, as far as I know. It is kind of a logistical problem at that point. You provide catered food for everyone at that point. That's a lot of food. And the scheduling is just always going to be an issue when you have that many people to try and accommodate. I feel definitely did it better than MLG did, though.
I think it's all a matter of more money coming into these tournaments.
It's
the
true.
More money that comes in, once big household brand name sponsors are involved in this kind of stuff, we won't even be talking about this shit. This shit is so, like, it just needs to explode to the point where we're not talking about, like, players getting food. Like, players should have escorts. They should be getting food. It should all be taken care of once it reaches that level. And we'll see. Next year, 2012 is going to be nuts. IPL and MLG are going to go head-to-head, and cool, awesome esports shit is going to happen.
I hope so.
There's no doubt about it.
I kind of feel like it's already on that level.
It is.
MLG in particular has just been getting away with it because I don't fucking know how they do it. Just people go anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, MLG in particular really needs to step up how well they treat the players and the amount of money they put into the players, the prize money and the player treatment.
I want to someone in chat actually mentioned that the open winner bracket number one spot goes into your group, Greg. Is that accurate as far as you know?
Yeah, it does. It is.
So let's just hypothetically say, sorry, Pain User, that it would be MVP or Nesty. Which one would you rather go up against in your group? What?
Because,
you know, I assume that you're going to win, Pain User, but, you know, in this case, it's only fair to ask Greg. Anyway. Go ahead, Greg.
I'd say probably MVP. I feel a lot better with Saren than with Serg.
Okay.
And Nesty's ZBZ is, like, notoriously
badass. It hasn't been tested that much. It's like my ZBZ was something like 95-97% win or whatever before I had to play a lot of matches in it versus better people. The only person who's really good who he's just shit on consistently is Lucira. And they're teammates, and he's a lot smarter than Lucira. Like, Lucira has different strengths than him, and his strengths are more suited for ZBZ. So I don't really think that's an entirely accurate example. His ZBZ is obviously really good. I mean, he's the best Zerg in the world. But it's not as invincible relative to his other matchups as it seems. But just my ZBT is so much better than my other matchups, I think MVP would be relatively easier.
Okay. Anything else about MLG, National Championships? Machine?
Can't wait to see you all there. Let's have a blast. Yep. Good luck, everybody.
Yep. It's going to be fun.
It's crazy that it's, like, right around the corner, too. I mean, I won't lie, guys. And Indra, I know you're in the same boat, dude, that you are kind of like looking for that nice, like, 1 month long break with nothing going on. But you have still DreamHack, NASL.
I don't get a break. I have Providence, then DreamHack, then potentially NASL, and then I'm off to Korea for 3 months. And then even when I come back, then I have, like, IEM Grand Finals or whatever in March, and then the whole season starts up again, MLG and IPL and whatnot. So,
all right,
yeah,
well, we'll
rest
for
in a
you.
Years.
Yeah, in a couple years, right, when you're dead, right? Absolutely. So, all right, we'll talk probably a little bit more about MLG next week as we, you know, get even closer to it. Before we take some of the questions from, you know, from chat and whatnot. Oh, really?
Multiplay UK qualifiers.
It's the same weekend?
I believe so.
I didn't even know that. Okay. I did not know that the multiplay I-440 event, is, which is the IP4 qualifier, is going to be the same weekend. I don't know.
Is the Muslim going to that?
What?
The UK?
He might be, probably. It's not for sure yet, though.
Okay.
So, PAX 1.4.2 hit today. And this is very, this is like kind of an interesting thing, because I've got the patch notes.
All you really need to know is that the ghost got
got cheaper for Protoss.
Exactly. It's telling when it's like balance, Protoss. The cost of this has been decreased. And then, of course, Terran EMP radius has been reduced. Let's talk about Protoss first. We chatted a little bit about this when this hit to the PDR. But now here we are. We see the shield upgrades go down. We see the ground weapons go down. And then we see ground weapons for level 2, 3. And then also the armor for level 2, 3 go down. Bring on the triple forge fucking builds, guys.
Sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't think it's that big of a deal.
What? Why?
What? Okay, shield upgrades, late game, 400, like, come on. I really don't think that's going to do it. Okay,
it's a huge
Archons.
Deal, man.
I think it's a bigger deal against Terran.
Craig's like, oh, yeah. God.
Okay. Greg just like seeing over and over like these two Templars just morph together. Fucking like, no!
I mean, honestly, it's gonna make double forge builds really good. That's just a fact.
You can't. I thought everyone was doing double forge anyway.
Not really. Yeah. Not really. You see it.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Is it gonna increase it even more?
Yes. Of course. Yeah. The upgrades are all way cheaper. I mean, it double forge is definitely going to be the way to go.
Double forge feeds into like Templar Archon based late games really well, and those got improved with the EMP nerfs anyway. So it all kind of just flows together really well for Protoss there. Yeah, I think that's going to help PvT a lot. But it's going to make PvC a lot stronger. And PvC was already leaning towards Protoss. Like, they haven't had enough time since the last batches. I think it's going to drop to like 40% Zerg soon.
Oh, really?
CVP is fucking hard now.
Do you think we're going to see like more builds be focusing on the fact that we've got cheaper upgrades, or do you feel like some of the decreases that we've got here are actually like marginal and not that impactful?
It's semi important. I don't know, PvZ, eventually they're going to start playing just turtle, death ball, heavy upgrades, that kind of thing. They're going to stop trying these stupid timings and just keep losing them games. It's going to get really hard. Yeah, they were necessary changes for PvT, but they're going to mess up PvC pretty bad.
What do you think?
I kind of agree. I mean, TVP is hard as is, and with the added upgrades, the nerf of the ghost is huge.
Well, we're not talking about that yet, Mr. Change.
Well, it's all tied together, man.
It's all the same shit. It is a little. Let's at least let Machine come, and then we'll let you kick off.
If you want me to talk about EMP.
No, we want you. I'm going to come back focus on that a little bit. Machine, let's talk about the upgrades. You said you didn't think it was going to be that big of a difference.
Not sort of like the later upgrades, like I'm just thinking of like the plus three shield upgrades and stuff. That 400 is kind of ridiculous. I have to agree with that. Tier two upgrades, I can see how that helps it a little bit. But it's not like the upgrade got sped up or anything. I don't think it really changes.
Does the shield upgrade affect buildings?
What?
Yeah. Does the shield upgrade affect buildings?
I assume, but I don't know. Well, let me ask you this perspective, too, because, you know, what has happened in the past with patches is that there have been changes that, when you look at it from a high-level perspective, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, it's not going to make that big of a deal, right? Like, an example is when the Phoenix decreased in cost. But what happened then is people were like, fucking A, man, I'm making Phoenixes. It's going to be fucking awesome. And then,
Phoenix,
you know, so it's like a mental thing, right, that sort of goes into it. So,
it's like the blue flame upgrade. Oh,
exactly.
Let's take it
through.
Oh, shit.
It's like, fucking A, man, blue flame. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious more from not necessarily the mathematical perspective of it, but more from like how will this mentally change the way that, that Protosses are approaching their upgrades and maybe even incorporating shields just because there's been that one change, you know?
I mean,
like you said, I think a lot of people, like Double Forge is going to just be standard now. But I don't know, it's like, cause it's not like no one has ever gone Double Forge before or something, so it's just going to become more common.
Yeah, I agree.
Hold on. Chibzu just asked, how could they not find a single Protoss person to sit in for this patch discussion? That's because they're all on State of the Game, so that is a pretty simple question.
Wait, State of the Game is, like, going on right now?
No, but it was a joke. Because they always have
they
Protosses
only have
on
all
there.
Protoss yeah, panels. So.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
That's a good one.
Come on. Lighten up, Chad. Come on. You son of a bitch. All right, let's talk EMP.
It's very true, though. Their entire panel is Protoss QQ sessions on the regular. EMP, it hurts. It hurts. It cuts me deep. I'm going to need more ghosts. I'm going to need more energy across the board. I'm going to have to drop a lot more EMPs to hit the same surface area. And a 0.5 reduction, although it may seem like it's not that much, is actually quite a bit. It's actually quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a quarter of it.
Yeah, it's a quarter. That's a,
well,
that's a pretty drastic
math is
reduction.
Because it's a circle. But
right.
It, especially in combination with the upgrades, it's going to make Archon Zealot, because Archons are what are really going to be hurt by it. Templars already tend to be spread out pretty, as well as Protosses are capable of with their mechanics. But Archons tend to get hit pretty badly with EMPs. So that, in combination with the double upgrade stuff being a lot more powerful because of the just the upgrade cost decreases, Zealot Archon heavy kind of builds, and just unit heavy kind of builds with Archons mixed in, are going to get a lot more powerful with the decreased EMP. EMP in, against Zerg, it's not going to be as big of a deal. Snipe is the much bigger thing for Ghosts in that matchup.
Yes.
Infestors, either your opponent keeps them all clumped up and is bad and loses them all anyway, or they just send forward one at a time and keeps the main pack back, in which case the Radius Nerf isn't as big a deal.
The
first Protoss is pretty huge.
Let's do be courteous to the Protoss race, right? We've all seen Protoss players just pretty much get fucking ripped apart by EMP. I mean, I think we can all think of at least one game where we're like, holy shit, that Protoss should have won, but he really got fucking, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you get
straight
like
up
three or four really, really solid EMPs off before a battle goes down, get rid of all the sentry energy, get rid of a majority of the hip. Think of the amount of damage done by four EMPs blanketing across a Protoss ball. I mean, it probably breaches the thousands.
It does, I'm pretty sure.
So
it probably does.
So, I mean, when we think about it from that perspective, you know, certainly there is a need for this particular change in the game.
But this is something that's kind of
game. I mean, yeah. I agree.
But whether or not it is too much or too little, obviously, Terran's finding out soon enough.
We'll see.
Well, but the Protosses are obviously
are going to be something that's really difficult to deal with in TVP now. And kind of along the lines of what Greg said, heavy unit compositions with high upgrades, just with Archons kind of mixed in as they can afford the gas, I think is going to be really deadly. It's already very difficult to deal with. Charge lots are ridiculously strong. They're going to get upgrades faster now. Their upgrades are going to be cheaper. Protosses are going to be much more focused on getting the armor and attack upgrades earlier on, and it's just going to be tough to deal with. It's going to be hard. We'll have to see, though. I mean, it's not like it's impossible as is. We see Terrans winning all over the place, so.
All right.
We'll have to see if Protoss can bounce back with these changes, because they certainly got some love in this patch.
Yeah,
in multiple areas. Like, this affects all matchups, especially TVP, because of the EMP reduction, but Protoss got buffed across the board in every matchup with those upgrade reductions. So,
so obviously, the EMP nerf has a big effect on everything, but Pain User, let's talk about the other change that obviously is going to, you know, have a pretty substantial impact on, you know, your game specifically. That's the fact that the parental controls got added, so you can limit the amount of time that... Oh, I just kidding. No, that's just... All right, never mind. But they did fix the alert fade thing, which was fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Even though I think I most people got used to it at this point.
I mean...
What do you mean alert fade?
Like...
You can turn them on or off. If you don't want alerts, you can turn them off.
What's that?
You can turn alerts off.
Yeah. Yeah, where it would, like... It would say, like, you know... I don't know. You need more minerals, right? And so, like, if it played over another one, like if you're spamming something, then it would, like, fade the alert or the sounds and just kind of, like, make it weird.
So dig this. Since it's circular, they're saying 44% reduction on EMP overall surface area.
Yeah, that's pretty
like,
intense.
Generally, when you nerf something, you kind of play around with, like, a light nerf and see where that goes. 44%? I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous.
That's a lot.
I think that's a little bit too hard of a nerf, to be honest. I mean, I would have been okay with, like, 25, 33, 44. That's pretty significant. We'll have to see how it affects it. But EMP is not going to be nearly as good against Protoss. Not even
well,
close.
Considering that their method for was something like this, let's see what number it lands on. Okay, 1.5, guys. We're going down. EMP down to 1.5, so.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You joke about that, but some of their changes.
You know what? I said it with a pretty straight face, I thought. You know, like, we don't know. It could actually be like that. Be like, guys, shit, they found out about the Nerf gun. Like, what the fuck do we do
okay,
now?
Okay, so it's 40. Chat's going crazy over the math here. So it's 43.75.
Which
that's
rounded up is
number.
44.
Yeah.
We're Americans, okay? We like
We like inaccuracy.
Yes, screw right? the
It's so, like 43.75.
Guys, across the board, when is the last time you saw a change in StarCraft II that affected something by 43% plus? Any ability?
I bet I can think of one if we think really, really hard.
Mike, I don't know.
You never. It's rare to actually see stuff in terms of percentages. I don't know how big the fungal nerf was if you look at it like that. And...
Ultralis attacking buildings.
Oh yeah, the bug. Yeah, that was pretty big.
Yep, the bug. Yeah, that was pretty big.
All right.
Someone just had a good point. The War Prism shield raise was like a massive percentage.
There you go.
They gained, like, 60 health or something.
There you go. All right, so...
Yeah, Blizzard does stupid shit a lot.
They do.
Beanies are always QQs if there's a buff in Toss.
All the time, because, you know, they buff Toss, like, weekly. You know?
Yeah. It happens all the time.
Let's, we can do a couple things. We've got some emails... we don't have open phones today, sorry guys, because I'm not at home. We'll have that, you know, next time. But I've got some emails, or we could attempt to do some chat questions, which is probably going to be...
That sounds dangerous.
It does sound dangerous, but I mean, is it any more dangerous than open phones, like really?
I guess not.
I've got some completely unfiltered... okay. What is it? What kind of a... Wait, here's an interesting question.
This is
question.
So weird.
This is, I just pulled the first one from the ITG at onemoregame.tv email. He says, hey guys, plain and simple, if you could change the outcome of a series between any two players in StarCraft II history, which one would it be?
Me versus Cruncher.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go. Okay,
oh,
so. And you're ready.
Oh, yeah.
You're ready. Do you have one pain user? That was a pretty honest answer, Greg.
Should I use myself?
Yeah, well, you could. I mean, it says any two players.
Me versus Jinro.
You versus Jinro?
Yeah, definitely. TVT.
Really? I don't remember
that. Was that a DC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And he won that tournament, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That knocked me down to third, and he won.
That's right.
It was 2-1.
That's right. I remember that.
He was going, like, pure mech. He was just, like... He was going, like, mass siege tanks with, like, 10 marines. He was just making tanks. That's pretty much all he was doing. And I was massing bio. And it didn't work.
Machine, what about you?
Easily MVP, NST, series. Back the, GSL finals 2 times ago?
You would have changed it how?
So that SD didn't get obviously. Like, fucking waffled.
Oh, okay.
Right. I rather enjoyed that finals, Bryce.
I know.
There's a lot of sniping. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
I know, right? All right. I do have good news. Goatless sent in his question this week.
Yeah.
So we'll do that last.
Is that his name?
So we're going to go Muffin Knight next. Muffin Knight says, oh, he has a question for In Control. Well, sorry, In Control's not here. So we're going to go on to Jarno. Dear Inside the Game, Terran is known for splitting against AoE spells. Why does Protoss not split their High Templars more aggressive against EMP? By aggressive, I mean splitting up the High Templars as soon as the enemy is spotted or a good place for an engagement is found. You guys want to comment as non-Protoss?
You do actually see that from very, very talented Protoss players. They split their High Templar individually, and they generally avoid two High Templars getting EMP'd at any time.
Yeah, that plus using Templars in Warp Prisms to avoid EMPs.
That is
Protosses well. Definitely do try to do it. It's just a lot of times you'll see Terrans making so many ghosts, plus eliminating observers and going in cloak, that it's hard to completely nullify it.
Yeah, I agree.
We have been seeing more of that Warp Prism High Templar.
And then also really good Protoss players will use High Templar as kind of like a fallback web. So they'll have High Templar like at their natural third that they don't really use in combat. And then even if you win a big engagement, eventually you're going to have to attack into their third or their natural, and you're going to run into a few High Templar with full energy.
Or they can replenish with those guys having full energy.
Yes, exactly. They can bring them in.
Do you feel like Protoss players are starting to be more conscious about splitting their units? I mean, Greg, you even made a joke earlier in the show about, you know, because of a lack of mechanics, not splitting their units very well. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
They're kind of becoming more aware of it. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's the same as with Terran. You got so many Terrans who were getting by early on just because of some of the abusive strategies, like Reaper, his Reaper builds in general, and early bio timings versus Protoss, and then some patches come around, some of that stuff gets fixed, and Terran's still just fine, but requires a different skill set to play. And Protoss was surviving on death balls for so long, now they actually have to have unit control. I honestly think they're just not playing as well in some aspects of the game as the other races, and really, if you give them more time to work on that, keeping their Templars spread out, and using tricks like the Warp Prism, to keep Templars alive and to do harass and stuff and just spread out the map and prevent Terran from keeping that one big EMP ball together. I think some of it does get chalked up to Protoss and Coppins just because they haven't had to be good for a long time.
I don't know why. Phil just said, I would change Jinro versus Idra at GSL, the six-pool game, that one fucking Marine.
The one time Greg goes for a six-pool.
Yeah.
And he's like waiting for it. He canceled it.
I think the last map was stupid Terran imbalanced anyway, so it probably wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, what was that map?
It was on Jungle Basin.
It was Jungle Basin.
No, I meant the fifth map.
The six-pool was on Jungle Basin, though, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
The six pool was on Jungle Basin. And he canceled his Marines, so the normal Marine timing was all screwed up. He accidentally canceled a Marine that was almost finished, and then Greg was like, camping outside his racks, like, what the fuck? Where's his Marine?
Not coming out. Well, let's go kill SCVs. Oh, there's the Marine.
There it is. Jack has a good question. He says, I have my first tournament coming up this weekend, and I was hoping that you guys had some advice on handling tournament nerves. Pain and Grain, you're awesome. Team EG, you are the best. That's from Jack. Nerves. We get this question a lot, guys. We have talked about preparing for tournaments, but how about nerves? I mean, as you play at a higher and higher level, in some cases I'm sure that nerves, you know, get worse. But in other cases, you know, Andrew, I know that you've commented, like, it's just sort of like, you've gone past that. But for someone who's trying to work early on, especially a first tournament, any thoughts? Anyone want to? Machine, you kind of looked like you had an answer immediately.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's something that's pretty common to deal with. Myself, I've actually had, like, horrible air problems. The first two MLGs I went to, I lost, like, first and second round because I, like, my hands were shaking so bad I couldn't even play. But I guess the kind of easiest way to get over it is just by continuing playing, or, like, if you can make it to where you don't care. Like, there's some of my best tournament results are, like, after I've gone to a tournament after not practicing for, like, 3 weeks. So, like,
it is true,
man. Dallas. Like, I practiced so hard for DC, so hard for Molly. I show up to Dallas after, like, a month of not practicing, and I take sixth for a final. So, like, I don't know. For me, it's, like, really just not trying to overhype the situation.
Okay. Honestly, from what I've seen and what I've experienced with all the pros that I've talked to, interviews, when I used to play, everybody deals with it in their own different way. Just find a way that works for you, man. I've seen people that meditate. I've had teammates that do all kinds of weird crap. Go for a run. Get your endorphins going. You know, whatever you have to do to calm your nerves and make sure that come match time you're not a freak show. And one big thing that Machine mentioned and that I've had happen to me as well is, like, for high-profile matches, if you're on stage or if it's a really important match, sometimes your hands just start shaking, man, and you can't press the keys properly.
Right.
Like, it actually affects your gameplay quite a bit. So when that happens to me, if I'm in the middle of a game, usually it's, like, right about the point that I start to lose or, like, when something bad happens. So for me, I just need to kind of, like, block that out and just really focus on the game 100%, and then usually it'll go away within a minute, 2 minutes, something like that, but... I've definitely had little, like, mini anxiety.
Right, right. You know, I mean,
I think when I win.
When you win?
Yeah. When I actually had more anxiety in a while, but I beat Bomber on the second map. Like, I was shot in the third game. I just didn't expect it, I guess. I'm usually, if I'm losing, I'm kind of cool. When I start winning, like, against a player that's obviously better than myself, that's kind of when I get anxiety.
Greg, I'll come to you, see if you have any insight. A long time ago, I used to run track, and I used to get really nervous before, like, my track meets. And my dad actually said something to me that now I think about every single time I'm in a competition and I get nervous. And for me, it was like a lot of times just a mental check, right? It's like putting yourself in check. But he said, if you're not nervous, then that means that you don't care about it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, the concept of you're nervous because you want to do well. A lot of times if you just, like, mentally check yourself and go, oh, okay, I'll chill out once the game begins, then it will just sort of go away. Because it's the anticipation of the first match or that first game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not so much, like, the middle of the game.
Yeah,
because
at that point,
you're usually in the fucking zone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Greg, what do you got any... words of wisdom?
Man, I'm still kind of stupid with the question because I've gone full spectrum. Like, when I first started, I was just absolutely awful because of nerves. I played half as well as I could at any kind of live tournament, and I kind of progressed. I got a little bit better all throughout StarCraft 1. Then comes StarCraft 2, improved a lot in terms of live play. I'm not entirely sure why. Different game. I was much better relative to the scene immediately with the game switch, so I guess that instilled some confidence. And now it's gotten to the point where I actually play better up on stage in high-pressure matches. It just kind of helps me focus. But all of it has been just kind of a gradual progression as I get more experience and stuff, so I can't really give people any tips or tricks to immediately get better at it.
Well, I mean, it's certainly going to be different for everyone, so hopefully that Jack gives you a little bit of thoughts. Here's a question from Jeroen Machine. What is your normal daily practice schedule? Because you live in a house with a lot of other players, does this encourage you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I didn't practice nearly as much as I did before. But I guess sort of just like having good players around to practice with 24/7 really helps. I know, like, a lot of people know this, but compared to most of the other pros, I play a lot more custom games, and I feel like custom games are much better to practice with. So I probably play about 8 hours a day, at least half of that, being customs between, you know, friends like, you know, Hydra, Major, players on that sort of caliber. So, I don't know, that's just my sort of practice regimen.
All right. We got a question for, well, let's see, Roach Hydra Corruptor Timing Attack is the subject. It says, I'm EU GM Zerg, not pro, and I've been doing a lot of Roach Hydra Corruptor Timing Attacks. What do you think about the style? I assume that this is kind of going to the Zergs here. Going Hydraless makes you safe versus air and a lot of timing attacks. I make Roaches and Hydras until I'm about a 170 control. Then I get a bunch of Corruptors and attack with Tunneling Claws. I don't win the game, but I get to kill his Colossus and get away with the Corruptors, which keeps his Colossus count low. Idrin Machine, do you think this is a viable style? Stefano did it versus Mana at the ESWC Finals, I think.
You take it.
If you catch him being greedy, then sure, I can kill him. That's true of a lot of timing CVP, but it's just entirely up to the Protoss. If they scout what you're doing, they get two Colossus, they have force fields ready, they got a couple cans ready, they're just ready defensively in any way. You're then left with a pretty useless army, and especially if you don't have drop, there's no way to make it useful to force it to do damage in some way or another. So, yeah, it can get you some wins, and especially at lower levels, it probably will get you some wins, and it's a relatively safe defensive style. But no. Zerg holds on, or Protoss holds on, and you die. Roach Hydra Corruptor isn't good in any way.
Machine, do you feel the same way?
I actually hate Hydralisks. I'll try anything possible to not make them. They're just awful, hideous units. The only sort of certain circumstance I can see myself making Hydralisks is either as like a two-base all-in, or if they open something like two-port Phoenix, I'll maybe get like 12, 14 Hydralisks and then mix in Infestors. And then, but then, you, once again, like Greg is saying, you have to look for those trades. Roach Hydra is not, it's cost-effective, but it's not supply-effective, so you really have to, if you're doing that, like have some sort of a transition or have some sort of a way to get those trades, like by doing things like Hydralisk drops. But for the most part, no. Like, I almost never go Roach Hydra Corruptor.
Okay. I've definitely seen Greg do it several times. Even in the Aces ROG.
Like I said, it's really good defensively. So if you think you are better enough than your opponent to make something happen with it, to just out multitask them, out resupply them, whatever, then it's okay because you're not going to really die to anything as long as you don't mess up. But no, it's not a good strategy. If you get someone with the control to hold it off efficiently, then you're just left with a pretty terrible army. It's a bad style, even if I still use it in some situations. And then every once in a while it comes back to bite me, and I just lose to bad players because they hold it off. And like I said, I'm stuck with that bad army.
So what's your transition then? Are you going into Infestor Broodlord from there?
Roach Hydra Corruptor doesn't transition very well because it uses so much gas, and you're left with that really fragile army, where if you try and dump some supply to get Broodlords out, you're really vulnerable for a time. And if you don't dump supply, then it's just eventually they max out on a Colossus Death Ball and you get run over for 10 food. So it's, like I said, it's not a good style. It's not a good late-game army, and it doesn't transition well.
The person who asked the last question about Machine, your schedule, he has responded back to us and said, thank you for awfully mispronouncing my name. All is fine, though. Love from Europe to Inside the Game.
Zero.
I'd just like to point out a critical fucking flaw in this email, is that I would appreciate it if you would give me the fucking proper pronunciation,
right?
So that I don't fuck it up again. Jeroen. All right.
Jeroen.
Jeroen?
Jeroen.
I'm just, but Jeroen. Seriously, email. So
Jeroen Slot.
All right, let's take a question from Espen. Hello, guys. Please don't mention my mail address or my name. Okay, I won't do that. I mentioned his name already. That's okay. I was wondering if you would notice up-and-coming player Snoot, currently ranked number 2 on the European ladder, starting to show good potential. Have any of you guys played against him or seen his stream? It looks like, Idri, you have played against him. Is this
1-1 and lost one? Did you
see 1-1
potential in this member of the swarm?
Some bragging kids.
Yeah, for sure.
When I was warming up at ESWC, he did a Ling Bane all in and like was successful. Then won like 10-15 minutes later after getting the advantage. Then the other game, I beat him pretty easily in standard ZvZ. He didn't seem anything special.
All right. There we go.
High praise from
anyone else played? Okay, no, there we go. All right. Let's see.
Oh, hey.
What? Which one? This one? This one?
Should we take that?
If you want to answer it, yeah. If you want to?
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, take it.
Cody Mueller asked, can you ask Payne User what happened at PPSL? Well, basically, PPSL was going to run one of our qualifiers, and some things happened on their end that, I mean, the stream was constantly crashing, other things were happening. We posted a big thread on it on Team Liquid.
Right, I saw that.
And that's pretty much where it lies.
Read the thread
on Team Liquid, get whatever info you need, and...
I would give some props to IPL and IGN, because for those of you that don't know, so the PPSL is supposed to be the Southeast Asia qualifier for IPL 4, and basically the decision was made to be like, we don't trust you with our stream based off of what you have shown us so far, so instead of just letting the train wreck happen and people like lining up and this is a great train wreck, they pulled the support, right? I mean, essentially that's what happened.
That's essentially what
happened. I think that, you know, it takes a lot of balls to make a decision like that. So, you know, I feel like to make a decision like that, there's got to be a lot of factors that one is considering. Kind of is pretty fucking telling in the grand scheme of things.
There were a lot of budgeting issues. I mean, they had to fly players out, obviously, from Korea. Nick and Dan were out there. Tastosis for casting. But, you know, from our end and from everything we provided, it seemed like the budget was there for them to do what they needed to do. And we held up our end, and the stream was crashing. Some of the players didn't make it out there. It was really difficult to stay in contact with some of the people from the organization. So eventually, you know, we just had to make the call. Wow. And at the end of the day, when you outsource your qualifiers to third-party tournament organizers, you're not always going to have the best success. So
not always.
We learned a lesson, though. And, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Like, we made a post about it.
I mean, so on the flip side, coming up, you've got the UK multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the I-44 next to it. Like, just so you guys know, the 44 represents the fucking number of events that these guys have run, right? So, like, the multiplayer I-29 was the 29th event. So this is going to be the 44th event. So these are guys with, like, a stupid amount of experience running, streaming, events, etc. So, absolutely.
Yep.
It's just
too bad because Tastosis were both out there, and that was going to be their first inaugural event, like, really casting for us as premier casters. And sorry, Nick and Dan. Sorry, guys, but next time we'll get you back out.
All right. Let's see. Okay. I'd like to hear from Idra and Machine on the following question. Quote, so obviously EG is the best, if not in top three teams in North America, and with such amazing talent as Puma, Huck, Idra, Machine, etc. To put it bluntly, why do you guys keep Jeff? His tournament results as of late have been really bad. Now, of course, as I'm reading this question, I'm like, well, I'm guessing that Greg and Machine are probably not like, I think it's time to make some staff changes here, some player changes here at EG, so... But, you know, you guys are his teammates, so what, I mean, do you have a defense for him? Like, yeah.
I can answer it.
What?
Jeff brings value to the EG organization. He's a personality. He's marketable. He has a fan following. He's a likable, personable guy. He's funny. He's on a lot of shows. He's on our show. He's on State of the Game.
Absolutely.
He's a community activist.
I mean, I would agree.
He's been around Team Liquid forever.
But let me play devil's advocate. What about the up-and-coming player who has tournament winning potential?
He needs to fucking earn that. This hard work, and if he gets back into it, there's no telling what he can do. And if he doesn't get back into it, at the end of the day, he's still going to be a personality, and he still has more commercials out there than any of you guys. So, it's kind of hard to talk shit on him.
What do you guys think?
Well, clearly, like, you know, I mean, Taylor can attest to this. He was a good player. He took fourth at an MLG, and then, you know, startup NASL started becoming a full-time caster for a while, and then realized that's exactly what he didn't really want to be doing. He didn't want to be that caster model. He, you know, Jeff is a competitor. He's a player. He's someone who likes that sort of environment, that you know, atmosphere. And you know, he can be a player. You got to trust me. I've been playing with him all through Brood War. It's just that he still hasn't quite gotten back into the swing of things. But at least that's my opinion.
Greg?
Yeah. Everything Pringers was saying, he. Like, even if he weren't a player at all anymore, if he had just decided he was done with that, he wanted to focus on being a personality, being a caster, being just a very important part of the community in terms of drawing attention to esports, that would absolutely be worth keeping him on the team. There's, like, an absolute ton of value in that. Plus, he also functions as a bit of a coach for us. He is essentially the head of the house in terms of, like, player-coach kind of responsibilities. He set our practice schedule and all that kind of stuff. So he has other value in terms of that. But, like, you look at plenty of players and they win nothing for months on end. It is because he is such a big member of the community in terms of how much attention he draws that he gets so much shit for it. You have plenty of players who go to every MLG and they do well enough to stay in pool play, but they don't really win a ton. They don't get attention for it like Jeff does just because Jeff is so much more important than they are. And, you know, people can go through months like that where they just don't win and then come back. I wasn't performing well at all for most of the summer months and into September. And now I've just turned it around completely. Sometimes it just takes a little bit to push over the edge in terms of confidence, get your mind into a better place, stuff like that. And Jeff's absolutely capable of having that happen for him.
Right on. I think that was a solid answer all around.
There it is.
Here's a question. Wheat, since Sean is not going to be attending the final event, who will you be casting with, Husky or JP? I assume that I'll be casting with everyone there, actually. I got a chance to rotate through at the last MLG. It was pretty awesome. Cast with Artosis and Tasteless. But my guess is that you will be seeing myself and Husky most of the time.
I wish I could participate in MLG.
Well, you're playing.
I'd be right there. I'd be right there with you.
Let's see. Let's see. Joran's messaged me back and said, it's going to be tough to teach you how to pronounce my name.
He linked you to the Google Translator.
Okay, we're going to try this. We're going to hear it, because can't Google Translate, like, speak to us?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's see. We're going to type his name in.
Jerome.
And we're going to go...
Vertal.
I don't hear it.
Yeroon.
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 Alright.
It's your own
win. It's like, God, you Americans are all fucking stupid. It's like, well, you know. Thank you very much for that. Alright, let's see. Okay, this one's from Santiago Machine. And we've got just a couple more questions, then we'll do Goatless Machine. I saw you got your Korean account. How are you liking playing against Koreans?
It's a lot harder, that's for sure. And, you know, I get to... as far as foreigners go, there's not too many foreigners that have, like, amazing mechanics. But even, like, the low-tier Koreans, it seems, have just awesome multitasking, can constantly deal with attacks at different angles, different times, like, macro properly. So it's much, much better practice than sort of, you know, the North American practice I'm getting. Like, there's definitely a lot, like, more well-thought-out builds, at least so far on North America. I'm just low masters right now. I'm still working my way up. But it's a different sort of practice, I guess. Like, if I want to just purely focus on mechanics or something, I definitely like going to Korea and grinding out a lot of games, because every single player I'm playing there is just top-notch level. It doesn't try to really cheese each and every single game. It's not like I'm just trying to scout that out. Yeah, exactly. I can focus purely on macro, you know, my mechanics, and just trying to improve myself that way.
All right.
I don't know. I've played some low masters Korea, and they're pretty dirty.
Yeah?
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're disgusting.
I mean, the Protoss do the whole, like, proxy pylon thing. Oh, my God. Antigua Shipyard between the main and natural?
There it is.
There's a pylon there, like, every other game, and I just forgetting about it.
I mean, yeah, like, they certainly do what it takes to win.
There's
no
question.
Doubt about that.
If I logged you in randomly to Europe, North America, or SEA, or Korea, would you guys be able to tell, without obviously any sort of cues, like from language or player names, would you be able to tell what server you are on?
Yeah.
Due to latency?
Well, let's say
no,
the latency
like, give me like 20, 30 games,
could,
yes.
Okay. So, Greg, you too? Oh, Greg, you're muted still.
Yeah, you're muted.
You could tell if you're on Korea, certainly. Between Europe, USA, probably harder. And SEA, I haven't played on SEA, but I'd imagine it would be obviously worse.
Okay. So, yeah, the general consensus is that, yeah, you go, okay, okay. Joe has a question. Question for everyone. Does anyone play custom games, Tug of War, et cetera, to help their micro macro? If so, what do you recommend for a new player? Thanks for the support, and fuck Slasher. Right on. All right. Custom games at all for macro micro?
There's actually a really cool new custom game out for micro purposes. I forget what it's called. It's like Micro Party or something like that. It's awesome. We were playing it last night over at
Micro Party.
I don't know exactly the name of the map, but it just came out. It's a StarCraft II micro map, and it sets up situations like you'll have like Marine Tank and a couple medevacs versus like Muta, Ling, Baneling, and then you go ahead.
Is it Raynor Party?
No, it's definitely okay. Not Raynor Party.
Okay,
I'll get the name and post it on Twitter or something.
Okay.
But it's a really fun map. And then there's also, obviously, the Marine Baneling micro map, which
right.
is really cool. Just
right.
search, like, yeah, Marine yeah. Baneling micro. That's awesome. There's always Micro Arena.
Darlene's micro trainer?
Darjlin's. Darjlin's.
Where the fuck did you get Micro Party from out of that?
Dude, whatever. Don't worry about it.
What?
Micro Trainer. There you go. There's tons of custom maps named Party. Raider right. Party.
Fair
micro.
Enough.
Yeah, get out
fair
of here.
Enough. You just, like, added Micro and Part. Okay, I got you.
So I didn't know fair the name.
Enough. So there you go. Anyone else have any other?
I don't know. I'd have to see, because, like, my only problem with, like, a lot of the micro maps is they're, like, really unrealistic situations, and unless you're playing against, like, an actual person, like, it's a lot of just dumb situations that would never possibly happen. So as for myself, I don't really like micro maps, but any kind of like macro trainer where you're really sort of focusing on, you know, just trying to not miss overlords, like hit injects, especially Zerg, obviously. I like those, or even just like playing against like a low computer and then trying to max as fast as possible. I do that stuff a lot, like especially like as warm up for tournaments and such, but. I don't know. I don't like. Obviously, there's no like great micro maps for Zerg. There's not like a Marine Baneling one. That'd be pretty cool, but like they had something like that for Zerg, but not really in my case.
All right, let's.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
I've never been a big fan of them just because it feels like it doesn't imitate real game situations 99.9% of the time. Like it's pretty easy to sit there and just do various kinds of unit control, but then all of a sudden you have to do other stuff at the same time or you fall behind anyway, no matter how well you do it. And like Bryce said, unless you're playing against another person, it's not going to be the same. Like, the computer just doesn't control as well as a person does, or at least they don't control in the same ways. So, yeah. It's... I think it's generally a waste of time.
There's definitely...
It's a little different.
There's definitely like something to be said for repeating situations that are somewhat common in certain matchups, though, over and over and over.
Stuff like Marine versus Baneling Micro, then I can kind of see it, yeah.
I mean, just any kind of common composition versus another common composition is good. If you can repeat it, like
normally,
10 times in 5 minutes.
Normally your opponent will be controlling, even in Marine versus Baneling, yeah. A really good Zerg will be splitting up their Banelings so that they're chasing different segments and you can't run away as easily. And until you have a computer that imitates that, unless you're playing like a two-sided UMS... It's not going to be accurate practice.
Yeah. Like, Brood War had a lot of, like, Muta versus Marine control where it was, like, two-sided. Or even in that case, like, you can get away with, like, Muta versus, like, a computer just because you're trying to look for angles and such. But
sure.
I haven't really found anything like that for SC2.
Okay. Let's do one more question here, and then we'll do Goatless question. This one's from Nate. This is to the Zerg players. He's asking, how do you guys stop Mass Immortal Archon?
Let me know when you figure it out.
Okay, well, he says, I feel like there aren't any units to stop it well until Broodlords infester, but from that point, it's easy enough for Protoss to get a mothership and toilet your broods. Nate did not tell us what division he's in, so, you know, keep that in consideration. But Machine and Idra, what do you think?
That's sort of an odd composition because Immortal Archon is two different tech patterns.
Yeah.
And so by the time, you know, they would have like Robo, like, you know, Archon
multiple
or whatever
Robos.
Sort of composition, you actually probably could have some sort of hive tech with, you know, Broodlords. I'm not saying like you'll have like 20 Broodlords and it should be like the easiest thing in the world, but just it's an odd composition to really deal with. I guess if I had to say something, it'd be something simple like Roach Infester and just like try to knurl the Archons, but I don't know. I'd really have to just kind of see the game situation.
Hydras, baby.
No, man, Hydras are awful. They really are. They're hideously bad.
I'm pretty sure Hydras would be, like, real good against pure Immortal Archon, though.
Yeah, until they like, stop morphing the Templar into the Archons.
Yeah, or either. Like, it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
Nah,
yeah, wrong, you guys would prefer to go roaches, honestly.
Oh, he's massive.
Immortal Archon.
It's just no ground unit, no ground composition is going to beat that. Like you said, you kind of need Broodlords and Festers to beat most Protoss Death Balls. And by the time you have enough Broodlords to actually be offensive versus that kind of Protoss army, they can have a mothership out in Archon Toilet. You know, that's kind of the problem with PvZ on a lot of maps.
All right. Sorry, I'm trying to find final questions. I like this one. First off, why the switch from Blue Moon to Fat Tire? It's because there's no
new
fucking
location.
Blue Moon in the fucking office.
New
that's
location.
Why. I don't know. Fucking, I got to get on top of that shit. But on a serious note, Idra, what makes the difference between the quality of player like Idra? Wait, what? The quality of a player like Idra and Machine from Machine and a high. What the fuck?
Is doesn't this? Make any sense.
I guess he's saying like. What are the massive differences between a player like you guys and a high-ranking North America player? How do you cross that bridge?
I think
I think he's talking about the difference between Greg and me.
Yes, he is.
No, he says how.
But on a serious note, ask Idra specifically
what makes the difference between a quality of player like Idra and Machine from Machine and a high-ranking NA player. How do you cross that
so
bridge?
So he just means all of them, like the difference from me to Bryce to NA player.
Sure.
Well, okay, the difference from me and Bryce to the NA player is just skill. Like we're better at executing, we have more knowledge, we've been playing for longer and whatnot. And then from Bryce to me, a big part of it, I think, is just like competitive experience and nerves and stuff. Like he was saying before, Bryce has had some pretty big problems with nerves in the past, and still to some extent. And it's actually gotten to the point where I play better, if anything, up on stage. Just like the adrenaline helps focus me, and I honestly think it makes me better at that point. So that's mostly experience, and just kind of I've gotten comfortable in that kind of competitive scenario. Whereas he, you know, he has the base skill. He plays really, really well in practice, but then it's not easy to always put that into effect when it matters.
I also think a lot of it's consistency. I make a lot of, like, pretty dumb mistakes every now and again, whereas, like, if you watch Greg play, it's just solid. You know, I can play a good game, like Greg said, but every once in a while I fuck up, and it just generally tends to be when it matters, so...
All right,
that sucks.
Let's go ahead and do our.
I don't know what else
life's
to say.
A bitch, right? All right, let's do our last question. A question from the illustrious Goat Lust. He says, "Hey, gents, I'm going to do this really, really bad, but I'll try to do my best Goat Lust as I can." Congrats to Greg. I can't even fucking do it, man. I'm sorry. Congrats to Greg on another trophy. I must commend you on an excellent performance. The only thing that... Here comes the part where he congratulates you and then gives you feedback. The only thing that bothers me is that you didn't haul your ass down to the Philippines to make sure MKP took second in PPSL. All right, that's fair enough. So, my question this week is directed at Pain User. I was watching you the other day on an IGN broadcast where you were casting some games with Cat's Pajamas. You were taking Twitter questions in between games, and someone asked you who you thought was the best EG player. Are you feeling a little bit silly now? He said, uh-oh. He said Huck over Idra. There it goes, Lust, the drama man. He's just like, wreck the punch.
At the time, I did, but it's easy for him to say that post-ACES RNG.
Of course,
right?
But that's
how Goat
Lust works.
At the time, I did, and I was basing it off of results. I was basing it off of time in Korea, training in Korea. And I even said before I answered it that I considered them almost dead equals and that I put Huck ahead based on results. Now, I mean, it's kind of up in there. We'll have to see who wins the next big one, and that'll be the true.
All right.
That'll be the true answer to the question.
All right.
But honestly, I was trying to base it on results and facts. Like, Greg's my homie. I obviously would love to say Greg's the better player, but as far as just straight up results, I don't know. Well, I'd love to see both of them take a serious season in GSL and just give it their all both at the same time in Code S.
Yeah,
that
they
would
both
be,
have
that would be,
like
yeah, at different times, right? Yeah, so it's that's a tough
Greg,
question.
Any Any retort to that?
I wish we had Go
at this point.
On
if
the
you
line.
Want to just call Payne user a fucking douchebag, I'm okay with that.
I don't know. Me and Chris and Puma are all really similar levels. I mean, that sounds just like PR, but EG has used all of us in ace matches recently. We've all had some really impressive, some not so impressive tournaments. It's no one's that consistent. Chris flew in the day before and he lost to a really abusive player, and that's that. And I had a good tournament run, got lucky opponents, and I won it pretty easily. So, different day, different matchups, different results. I think me and Puma and Chris are all really close together in terms of skill.
Right on. All right. Well, thank you, Goatless. And that's going to wrap up our show for today. We are going to go ahead and do a final shout-out. So, Payne User, why don't we start with you?
Shout-outs to my team, Check 6. Thank you for sending me to Providence. I'll see all you guys out there. I wish everybody the best of luck. Thanks for having me on the show, Wheat. It's good to have you in Frisco.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to be doing
this. It's quite nice. Yeah, this is like our first dual live show. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks to all the fans out there for watching. Truly appreciate everybody who loves the show. Thanks for the crazy questions. Goat Lust, thanks for putting me on blast.
All times, man.
Homie.
You know, Greg got enough for a while. So.
And big thanks to IGN and the IPL. And look out for the multiplay.co.uk qualifier. That's going to be huge. Hope everybody tunes in and watches that. And thanks, everybody, for supporting my casting. I'm out.
Right on. Greg, final thoughts.
Pretty much same as always. Thanks to all the fans and supporters and viewers. Everyone who likes me, yes. StrifeCrow over there.
Yep.
We need to do more StrifeCrow interviews, by the way. Everyone out there needs to get on that.
I was liking seeing him play Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That was good stuff.
StrifeCrow is pretty fucking awesome.
He's actually like really funny guy.
Yeah, hilarious.
He is. He's the Hey Pro of EG or EG.
That's
neither of them get nearly enough credit.
It's like such a perfect analysis.
Analogy, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So along that line, thanks to EG, all my awesome teammates, and all our great sponsors: Intel SteelSeries, Monster, Kingston, and Beyond Gaming, and everyone else. You can go check them out on myeg.net. Also, big thanks to SplitReason.com, our clothing sponsor, who also makes my Release the Gracken t-shirt. Everyone should go buy one of those because it's awesome, and I make money off of it. SplitReason.com/EG, Release the Gracken. Thank you, everyone.
Wait, did you guys see the Reddit thread about your contest, Greg? Like, one of the questions was, like, who is the player that sort of, like, started the Gracken thing? And so the answers you could put in were Boxer or Slayer's Boxer or Slayer's Boxer typed a different way. But this guy took a screenshot because he put Lohan Wim.
Or Lohan?
Yeah. And he was like, what the fuck? I was right, but I'm not right. So I feel for that guy. Anyway, Machine, final shout-outs, thoughts?
Well, once again, thanks for having me. This is a pretty awesome opportunity for me. Thanks to my team, EG, all my awesome roommates here. Thanks to my sponsors, and thanks to my fans and all these viewers for sitting here and watching me talk about video games, StarCraft and such. Yeah.
We love you again. Too, Bryce.
Yeah. Amen. I just want to say, again, thanks for joining us here on Inside the Game. Tomorrow we'll be live on 3. It'll be produced by our very own Sir Scoots from OneMoreGame.tv, so I actually won't have to do the whole setup, but that'll be tomorrow with myself and Slasher. Make sure to tune into that. And if you are in the San Francisco area, come down. We are having a Twitch sort of open house mixer right now. We're going to play some StarCraft, some Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3. Payne Use is going to be hanging out for a while. I'm going to be here. Should be a lot of fun. So if you're in the San Francisco area, go check it out. You can look up Twitch TV Mixer DJ Wheat. You'll find directions and all that shit.
Or you can go to 23 Geary Street.
Or just go to 23 Geary Street. Yes, exactly. And then you'll find it. So, guys, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you guys next time on another episode of Inside the Game. Peace!
have top score at the place or anything, but we used to have, like, really competitive games. All right.
See you.
Yeah.